News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We made it to May 1st. Hey,
May 1st,
talking about Henry P. Corbin and his extensive personal archive from a century ago.
Yay.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. It's May Day, like I said.
Here you
not,
be.
But it's not a warning. So.
And your red shirt there. There you
yes,
go.
I'm Mary, all red today. I'm
Mary
red, white,
Queen
I'm red
of
white,
Scots.
Blue. I'm patriotic.
Well, good for you. Hey, good things there. We're the crowd that does a radio show about El Paso history. Been doing this for several decades. Isn't that bizarre to hear that? Several decades.
At least it's not eons.
No, but someday we'll get good at this. You never can tell. But we're on KTSM AM 690 as always in El Paso. But we have added the whole dimension of streaming live on Facebook. And that page is El Paso History Radio Show.
Yeah.
And that's where we've been putting pictures up. So
waving,
TV just became radio, became TV. It's kind of weird in here. But we're streaming live also on the page, Remember in El Paso When. And oh, this is where we always say, Texas history begins in El Paso. You're not going
to
say it?
Oh, I thought you
Texas
didn't want me to.
Well, do it. Texas history
begins in El Paso.
Oh, come on. You like that slogan.
I know.
Okay, what else is going on here?
Well, we just want to remind everyone they can also listen to us on audio streaming live on the internet via ktsmradio.com, which is part of the iHeartRadio family. So definitely get on there. You can't miss us one way or another. You can take us everywhere we go.
You have a history moment, second hour?
Yes, I did. My moment is on how important water is to people living in the desert.
I've heard about this,
yes.
So we'll get to that in a minute or two. We're going to talk today about a bunch of stuff here. We got in the studio sitting here with a guy named Mark Howe. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are basically from the El Paso County Historical Commission today, representing yourself and maybe the commission. But you happen to also work at a place called the International Boundary Water Commission.
Correct.
That's another thing.
And just before we go, I always like to give a disclaimer that this is my opinion we're talking about and not that of the USIBWC or the State Department. So it's just my opinion on what the history we have.
The history we've got has to do with the IBWC. And it's an interesting thing. We've got some archived material found by a guy named Randy Corbin. Hey, Randy, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here, dude.
Morning.
Thank you.
You're the grandson of an early consulting engineer for IBWC, Henry P. Corbin, and we're going to talk about his archives today. But just to let you know, Mark Howe is also the cultural resource specialist of the International Boundary and Water Commission. And what about Randy's bio there? You got that.
Well, Randy's, he's our guest today, of course, and he lives in southwest Missouri near Joplin, Mo. A Missouri native, a great-grandson of Henry P. Corbin, and he's who was the consulting engineer of the Boundary Commission from 1914 to 1922. And Randy is a retired quality analyst for fiberglass composites manufacturer in Joplin, Mo. And he's married, has two children and five grandchildren, and he's a big-time volunteer with George Washington Carver Birthplace National Historic Site, Fort Scott. And he's a writer of two books on historic persons and cemeteries, the SWMO and SEKS, which I'm sure I will learn about that, as well as having written some children's books on bluegrass folk and old-time Civil War music. Oh, I love that. U.S. Army vet, 72 to 75. Thank you for your service.
And thank you for surviving Vietnam. It sounds like that's what you did.
Well, actually, I was not in Vietnam. I never left States. I had it lucky. Those guys were the real heroes.
Yeah, well, you still served.
You were there. Thanks for that. Hey, the thing is about what happened was somebody in your family found a bunch of archives. Was it in a shoebox?
Well, there are several different archives, but I believe what you're probably talking about are the journals that my Aunt Virginia sent to Mark.
Oh, we have pictures of those journals. Go ahead.
Yeah, and those are the journals of my great-grandfather, Henry P. Corbin. And she sent those to Mark to decide basically where would be a good spot for those to go in a museum or in some archives. And so he has the journals. And then I also sent some personal letters of H.P. Corbin and other people that my grandfather gave me that he got from his father, Henry P., and I sent those to Mark also.
Okay, that's probably a good place to take it, because Mark is he's an employee over there, but he's also a volunteer at the El Paso County Historical Commission, and that's kind of like a good hands to put stuff in. So, Mark, if somebody finds something like this, I mean, this just landed in your lap, but if we put out a call on the radio for people who have something, not necessarily in your bailiwick, but in general, you find a relative, you have to go take the stuff out of their old house, and you find a box of neat things. What do you do with that? I mean, right now you've got your hands on some really interesting history, and that's what we're going to do on the show today is discuss this. We've got an incredible picture of Henry P. Corbin up on Facebook. I mean, this guy, he's a stark-looking dude. You look at him and say, I wouldn't want to mess with him unless it was a good thing.
Well, if people send me, you know, stuff personally and stuff, I look to see where it's going to be best to be taken care of. This stuff he sent to me is because of what I do over at the Boundary Commission, you know, on my work on history. And so this all pertains to the Boundary Commission history. And so with these journals and stuff, it'll be up to them what they want to do because it's their property still. But I'll scan this in like I've done with a lot of this stuff. And then
be up to Randy, you mean?
Right. And then either donate it to, you know, have them, they can donate it to the commission, or it can go be donated to UTEP.
For Special Collections.
Special Collections.
If you want professionals touching your stuff, either take it there or the border history place down at the library. Would you say, Melissa?
No, I was just laughing and thinking about that because it's amazing how many pieces of things have been lost because of that. And yet when you try to tell people about how to preserve it, oh, it's okay. And they leave it in a box. And it's like, oh.
And they don't write the names on the pictures on the back.
Oh, yeah. My family.
And then they float away, and you have no idea who this is standing next to Aunt Bessie.
Right. And there's a lot of documents I have from stuff I got from Red Bluff Dam from the early 1900s that I'll go give to UTEP and also the El Paso Historical Society that I have personally also. But these things, yeah, I mean, people send stuff, and, you know, they have history stuff down there to deal with the commission. Send it to the commission. We'll go through it and stuff and, you know,
Guide it somewhere.
Right, guide it through that. It's like if people have stuff, they contact me, and then I send it through the chain of command and stuff we have to get things done. But because this is so interesting because it's over 100 years old, it's just the stuff that his aunt sent me with the journals was like, wow, stuff you didn't know. And I think Randy wanted to talk about first about his great grandfather, like a little bit of his background, how he was appointed, and then why his term here was so short. So Randy, do you want to talk about that?
You never knew this guy. You knew your grandfather, I take it, but not your great grandfather, right?
Right. I knew my grandfather well. He died in 1979, and in 1978, I sat down with, or 19 August of 79, shortly before he died, I sat down and did an interview with him, and I asked him specifically about my great-grandfather, Henry P., because I really didn't know that much about him. And so I asked my grandfather how his father had got the commission, and he told me he was appointed the consulting engineer of the Boundary Commission as a political plum. My great-grandfather of Elias Ammons, who had been a governor of Colorado, my great-grandfather was also an elector, cast an electoral vote for Woodrow Wilson. And so he knew Woodrow Wilson, he knew Governor Ammons, and he knew Senator Toms and a Sherafton or Sherafo in Colorado. And basically they helped him get the commission, or the consulting engineer with the Boundary Commission.
Andrew, put up number six, if you would. We have a picture of the letter that I presume is still in your possession. And that is a letter signed by President Woodrow Wilson, right?
Well, that is the actual presidential commission, and it's signed by Woodrow Wilson,
and
it's also
and Williams Jennings Bryan.
That's correct.
And in the next picture is a little more close up. Put that one up. You got that one. So the thing is, these are guys that are rather high up in the world of everything. And I look at also a couple of clues that I found here that I thought was interesting. I don't know that we have it handy, But there is in this document, the number 11, I don't know if you can skip around, Andrew, or not, but there is a certificate of this gentleman who is a member of the Scottish Rite Freemasons. Then I'm just going to try to put two and two together for me. You can take it or leave it. But I think that's probably how these guys knew each other.
It's very possible that through the Masons, he knew people and had some contacts. But in his journals, that in the journal that you have there, on one of the pages, I'm looking, he talks about taking his, and I'm not familiar with Masons, but he had to take a test and what became a 32nd degree Mason while he was in El Paso.
Okay. So he definitely had some connections to that. I kind of think that may have helped him in his career. Because the guy was a rancher in Colorado, right? And all of a sudden he gets appointed to a Boundary Commission consulting engineer in El Paso.
But he was a political advisor. He had a political pull, too, in the sense that he had the vote, correct?
He was he cast an electoral vote for Woodrow Wilson.
And that's not something you get easily, yeah.
That's all the same mix of people, is the point.
But he was also an engineer.
Oh, yeah. And so what's he doing in Colorado being a rancher?
Actually, I don't believe he was an engineer, at least an educated engineer. He was a rancher. His father had come to Colorado after the Civil War, about 1868. My great-grandfather was about a year old, and they had ranches. They had Echo Valley Ranch and Resort Creek Ranch and some other ranches.
Well,
they dabbled a little in silver mining. They had some sawmills, and there was a whole group of Corbins and related family there. And, of course, Colorado did not have a huge population at that time, and so as a governor, or a cousin of Governor Ammons, I feel like that is somehow he became associated.
I'm telling you that somehow is connected with Freemasonry. I guarantee it. The way that operates, especially back in that era, you had a lot of people going to a lot of places, and the public couldn't figure out why, and the guys knew exactly what they were doing, and they collected good people and put them where they needed them. So what is a what is a consulting engineer once you get to El Paso, either one of you?
Well, one of the documents that I didn't send Randy yet was he was talking about, you know, being an engineer in the background. That's how he got on some of this.
Okay.
But a consulting engineer, like today we have what's called principal engineers. And these are the ones that are actually engineers who've gone through all the requirements to be an engineer, and then they've gone through the steps to be a principal engineer, and then they're appointed to sign the documents for, like, dams and levees and so forth.
Oh, they
forth.
Certify the right. validity of this dam is going to hold water?
Right. They could do stuff. They're an engineer, so they're like a civil engineer. And then you have electrical engineers and so forth. But what these people do is go out there to certify to make sure the stuff that's being done is correct.
So they have to know it.
Right. They need to know some stuff on what's going on in engineers.
So tell us more about your great-grandfather. What else can we glean from that? Because we have a picture of him in his office, number two here, sitting there in his office. And then also, go ahead.
Well, like I said, he was a rancher. He had several brothers, uncles, and his father that were ranchers there in Colorado, just south and west of Golden, Colorado, up around Conifer and down around Foxton, Colorado. He, of course, I never met him, but I did meet I knew his wife, my great-grandmother, and I feel like my grandfather was much like him. He was a very intelligent person, very focused, a soft-spoken person, but a man of steel resolve. And I have some pictures of him on the ranches in Colorado, and they were absolute real cattle ranchers of the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s in early Colorado.
And that rancher would be you said cattle, basically, right?
Yes, it would have been cattle. In fact, the one ranch was in my family until about 1976 or 1977. I spent many hours there as a kid and as a young adult. It was one of the original.
I think we kind of covered who the guy was and kind of how he got here. Now let's take a look. Maybe we'll take a break here a little early, but we'll come back and talk about how did he affect El Paso history and what is in the material here that you have found, Mark.
Right, but one thing is, before you go into that, it's important for Randy to tell what happened to him towards the end.
What happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened?
Okay, 1922, he had been in Washington, D.C., and he suffered, he was having some appendicitis problems. And so he went back, he saw a doctor there. He went back to El Paso, which is about a three-day train ride, and he visited with the doctor, and they did an appendectomy. And he was coming through that fairly well, and about a week in, he apparently had a blood clot that broke loose and was trapped in an artery in his heart and just kept the blood flowing, and he died after about 5 minutes.
There's no more tomorrow then. Yeah, gone. Jeez.
And it was reported in the New York Times that he had passed away, as well as, I'm sure, El Paso papers and Colorado papers.
Oh, yeah, we have a picture of that. We do.
He was taken back to Colorado. His body was transported on a train. He was taken back to Colorado, and he is buried at Crown Hill Cemetery that I believe is in Arvada, or it's on the edge of Arvada, Golden, and Lakewood in Colorado. It's a huge cemetery. He's buried with my grandmother, and so that's how he passed away.
That's interesting conclusion there. We're now going to talk about what he did while he was here. But first, we're going to take a break here, because that's what we do. Don't we do that?
We do that.
And we have a lot of people looking at us on Facebook. We'll enumerate some of them when we come back after the break.
We got some foreigners out there listening. They're outside of El Paso.
Outlanders.
Another state. No.
Anyway, doing what we can here. Also, thank you to Andrew J. Polk there in the control room, doing what he can to make this all happen. And don't forget, his show is on Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m., Talk El Paso. And boy, can that guy talk. As I said, did you happen to see that ABC 7 thing? We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that in a minute. It was done well. I liked it.
Talk at a break. If you need a question, we will take it either on Facebook or this magic phone number.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Compelling talk, stirring conversation, and a stimulus payment not on the taxpayer's dime.
All right. No way!
Listen for the keyword and enter it into our website for your chance at $1,000 with the $1,000 stimulus.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let VCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective VCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-716-9085 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-716-9085. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-716-9085.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. 800-399-5446. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation. Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're talking history here, as we always do on Saturday morning for 2 hours. And it's an interesting history. We've got, we're going to hear more about the International Boundary and Water Commission, what they do and did, and what this guy Henry did, because he was mixed into it. And what the interesting thing is, we've got his notes and his stuff from when he worked there. So there's that. But by the way, if you want to get a hold of us, you can also send us an email anytime, including during the show. I'm looking at it right now, ephistory690@gmail.com. And we are the radio show on Facebook, so you can go there for our weekly announcements on the topics, El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook. And also we have a TV channel, and that TV channel is El Paso History TV on YouTube. And right now, I just put up a thing that Channel 7 did last Sunday night. They ran a story on the father-son duo of radio, and that
and
would be
Wendy got included
and,
in that.
Well,
too.
We had to include Wendy.
You better.
Because Nacho Garcia put her in the picture.
Yeah,
but also she is an integral part of this little union of crazy people.
All in communication.
It's media. It's yeah. Media crowd here. So anyway, take a look at that. It's on that YouTube channel if you like. Also, 20 segments I did with Bernie Sargent. We're finding interesting copycats now, but that's great, because the more you explain El Paso history, the better. That's also on
more
YouTube.
More people get interested, yeah.
Yeah, that's on Pastor History TV on YouTube. And also the DVDs I did for 20 years, I got at least a dozen of them up there. Take a look at that, and you can basically understand El Paso fairly well if you're going to go look at all that stuff. And so we get comments out there. I got comments on Legends of El Paso's Mountains last Sunday from Kent Courtney. I didn't realize that the 10 mines had been opened for public access. It looks like a field trip is in order. Do it, but you might want to contact the park about how best to do it. Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's a long way over there. Celebration
of Our Mountains, don't they do a tour up there?
Who?
Celebration of Our Mountains.
They might.
That might be somebody could tune into, and you'd have somebody could talk all about them, too.
You go with somebody who knows the stuff.
Yeah.
Also, we got another comment on one of the ABC News segments, the 2020 Camino Real and Juarez Mission that's on El Paso History TV on YouTube. This one originally ran on June 26, 2020. Mauricio Cachazo, C-A-C-H-A-Z-O. He said, great history. I visited the Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe Cathedral 3 years ago, a lovely, peaceful temple. Thank you for the video. Take a look at that.
He was a friend. We just met him this week, and he's from Brazil.
Oh, cool.
And he just loves El Paso history. He and his wife, they go all over. I mean, we were trying to tell him places to go. He's like, I've been there.
Oh, cool.
I've been there. So.
Well, see, a lot of El Pasoans never get to these places.
Yeah.
So to do that, we took a drone out there. We have drone footage of Juarez. It's amazing to see this tiny little church that's used to sit by itself in the middle of nowhere. It's got a whole city around it
now.
It's crazy. Anyway, El Paso History TV on YouTube. What do you got? You got something going on.
Well, I certainly do. The New Mexico Museum of Space History in Alamogordo is pleased to announce that it will reopen to the public on what better day than National Space Day. That's Friday, May 7th. The museum will now be open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday through Sundays. And they'll be closed on Monday and Tuesday, of course. And then there's a temporary reduced entry fee of only $5 per person. And will be, they're going to have that for a short time. And their capacity is still going to be limited. But if you want to learn more about what's going on, their trips, all kinds of great things happening there, call them at 575-437-2840. Or you can visit the website, nmspacemuseum.org, or they have a Facebook page, New Mexico Space Museum. But check it out. They've got some great, great exhibits.
Look at some of those people looking at us on Facebook.
Okay, well, let's see. We got Irina Irene. Hello, Irene from Tempe. Irene Cernogood. Irina, I can't read this morning. Irene Serna is in Tempe, Arizona. And we have Victor Lusano all the way up there in Anthony, New Mexico.
Guzman.
Let's see, we have. Well, I get all three of the names here. You got Pablo Bustamante, who had a relative that was on the Mexican side of the IBWC.
Mark Flores.
Yes, Mark Flores. Okay, do you want to read them?
I'm going backwards. You read them down.
I'm reading from the bottom up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we got some great people. It's just really great to see you all there. Angie in Colorado, she's in there. So it's great to see them all.
Where is Shirts, Texas?
Texas is a little bit east.
Somewhere near.
East of San Antonio.
Near San Antonio.
Yes,
okay.
I have my daughter's-in-laws live there.
Got a lot of people out there. And then probably somebody in South Carolina, he just hadn't popped on here yet.
Saldo, Texas is lit.
Well, it's interesting because El Paso history is interesting to us, and it gets more interesting if you figure out a couple of things and say, well, what about this? What about that? And then they add up. I mean, Mark, you're not from here, but you've learned a whole lot about history.
Right. I mean, William Jennings Bryan is from Lincoln, Nebraska, where I grew up.
Oh.
And another thing, like on your wall here, you have Texas History Begins in El Paso. It'd be a little nicer to have, like, the monument number 2 picture on there.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about people don't know about the history. Well, you drive down Paisano, and you look south of Mount Crystal Ray, and you're on Paisano, and you'll see that white monument on the hill.
Up on top.
Right. And it's just across from American Dam, south of Executive, south of the railroad bridges. And you ask people who grew up here, what is that monument up on the hill?
It's not in Texas.
No.
Ah, got you there.
It's in New Mexico.
Yeah.
But that is monument number 2, which is delineating the U.S.-Mexico border line of sight down to monument 1 down there by the Casa de Adobe Museum.
And that monument 1 you can see from Paisano.
Right through.
As you drive by.
Right. It's kind of hard sometimes to see it, but it's there.
Between the two brick plants. You got the Mexican brick plant and the American brick plant, and that thing's sitting there. But that's not really where it technically should be. It should be in the center channel of the Rio Grande, because that's the boundary.
Well, guess what would have happened then?
I'd be blown away.
Washed away. You're right.
So they put it on dry land. But actually, the actual boundary is actually in the water.
Right. And when you're on American Dam, you look. It's kind of like you can just follow line of sight. That's what the monument is. So they're line of sight center down. And right there is like a little nexus point of Texas, New Mexico, and Mexico, Chihuahua, Mexico.
Right, right.
And then going down the river, you have Texas on the left. And then Mexico on the right,
but
going all the way down.
But going west, if you could line them all up and see them all at once, which you can't, they'd line up all the way to California.
Correct. Where you end up
where there are straight lines on the boundary, it would be a straight line between these things.
Right, and that's the thing.
Can you imagine that?
That's amazing. What do you think
about
like it?
You want me to, the history of the International Boundary and Water Commission. It was formed after the Mexican American War in 1848 as an independent commission to mark the border with
Emory. Guadalupe Treaty?
Right.
Okay.
Guadalupe Hidalgo. And then various commissions over time up to 1889, it was formed as a formal commission. And then in 1944, under the Water Treaty, it was formed as it incorporated water into the name.
So you got to have water because you guys, okay. We're going to take a break here and come back in a minute. We got lots to talk about.
One thing is, if you want more information on the commissioners and everything, go to the www.ibwc.gov. It gives you lots of information on the commissioners and about the history of the commission. And it's important.
We talk about it a lot here because it's not a minor matter. I mean, you guys are in charge of that concrete thing known as the Rio Grande. Are you not?
Well.
Are you not? Yes?
Well, we don't. We have the border, the levees and stuff. We take care of that.
That's what I mean. If somebody wanted to come mess with that, they got to go through you.
Right. Yeah, people will do that.
Okay.
Yeah, they contact the people in the commission that will handle all of that.
I want to talk to you about. We got to take a break. I want to talk to you about a bigger gate there where Oñate can come through again.
Oh, okay. But, also the thing is before is in one of the journals here, the monuments that Randy's great grandfather talked about some of the monuments that were missing in the 1917. This is a different journal, but
all right, we'll get to that. Okay, take a break. And the control room guy, as much as nice a guy he is, he's getting upset in there. You're going to be okay because we're going to go to break here. You ready to go to break?
Yes, I'm ready to go to break.
And find some more people to talk about on Facebook in a minute. And just forget the phone number. We'll be back.
Okay.
Hit the button, dude.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
It was meant to be a rehabilitation center for troubled youth.
Anna Wakey has come to represent the tip of an iceberg of discovery into the abuse of children.
But really, it was a breeding ground for abuse.
By the brochures, I thought I was going to a camp. I didn't realize I was going to be locked up.
Thousands of patients passed through its doors, many leaving worse than when they arrived.
Everybody knew and everybody kept their mouth shut.
Listen to Camp Hell, Anna Wakey, on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm host Robin Roberts, and on a new podcast from iHeartRadio, COVID-19, Immunity in Our Community, we'll hear from Americans on the front lines and the doctors and medical experts who convinced them and their loved ones to roll up their sleeves and get vaccinated. Listen to COVID-19 Immunity in Our Community on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. We can do this.
One-on-One with Susan Eisen.
Buying a diamond from a certified gemologist appraiser is all the advice you need to ensure you are making the right choice.
When it comes to an expert to guide you, visit SusanEisen.com. One-on-One with Susan Eisen.
Do you have jewelry left over from a previous relationship? Now is the time to let us make you the best offer we can using our worldwide research.
When it comes to getting the most for your gold, visit SusanEisen.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-555-1509. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-555-1509. That's 800-555-1509. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-555-1509. 800-555-1509.
I am so excited to launch my first podcast, Luna Talks with Anna Paulina on the Gingrich 360 Network. But let me warn you, this is not a podcast for the faint of heart or easily offended. This is a podcast for those who want to learn, to engage, to be inspired, and perhaps most importantly, for those who still believe in the audacious idea known as the American Dream. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to Luna Talks with Anna Paulina every Friday on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, Randy, don't forget, we'll get back to you in a second here. We have a long segment coming. We're going to ask you stuff about your great-grandfather. Well, yeah, we'll put you to work in a minute. In the meantime, I got some announcements here. Celebration of Our Mountains 2021 programs. They are up and running. There's going to do a whole bunch of stuff. They in May, coming up this month, La Revolucion Mexicana with the Tom Lee Institute, Stargazing at Fillmore Gap, Tour of the Police Academy up on the mountain. It was once the Dudley and Orr Limestone Quarry. I wonder if that name, ORR, there was also a Harding Orr and McDaniel funeral.
That might have been some
I bet you that was going to have to look into that. Anyway, Birding and Memorial Park, Aiden Crater and Moon Geology, a late afternoon trip to Aiden Crater. It's one of the local volcanic sites used by the astronauts for moon training. And so they're going to do it. Oh, they're going to do that on a full moon. What a bizarre thing to do. Anyway, call up good old Diego. Jim Tolbert himself, diegotolbert@gmail.com or 525-7364. Ring him up and surprise him.
Surprise.
What do you got? You got something?
Well, we want everybody to remember to support our sponsors of the show. It's very, very important. They're good people. And Mission Del Rey Southwest on Lee Trevino is open today, and they're a wonderful place for great gifts like Native American jewelry, decor, and more for your home and office. They're located at 1421 Lee Trevino, and that's their phone number, if you need to give them a call, is 915-440-2140. Our friends at Monterey Asset have a new website, m1ep.com. Do stop by and check them out. And you can also, you could join us for lunch today at Pepe's. We're going to be at Pepe's in Canutillo for in-house dining, which is wonderful. We're glad to be all back together. And that address is 6761 Donovan Drive. Or you can give them a call for a takeout order or for catering at 877-2152. And it's the home of the one and only
Margarita.
Yes.
I didn't say it
Margarita.
Right.
Margarita. Okay. Call 588-1850 to talk with Patrick Tuttle of Legacy Real Estate Services. Patrick is a top producing realtor in El Paso, and he has an extensive list of rentals. You can give Patrick also, give him a call at 588-1850. And if you have insurance needs, then you need to call Ralph. I'm giving up today. Call Ralph Dickerson on your local State Farm insurance representative. He's like a good neighbor, but with a better phone number.
Ha-ha.
And that phone number, 915-581-0000. I need more sleep.
Can you remember that?
Oh.
000.
That's what happens when you wake up at 3:30.
Well, don't wake up at 3:30. Go back to bed.
I know. I can't tell
myself. Life in a Fast Lane. Randy, we got to talk about something that your great-grandfather did. When he was in El Paso, he lived here a while. What would you say were the things that focused that you found out in the archives that you kept? What did he do that we should know about?
Well, he was very dedicated to his job. He kept a journal, and it's not a daily journal, but it's a weekly journal, and most of the items are regard his work. But he was contacted by a retired general by the name of Anson Mills, who I believe was connected with the Boundary Commission in some way. And he was asked to go and find the graves of General Mills' brother and other people who had been killed in a battle with, I guess it would probably be Apache Indians.
Correct.
We have a letter.
In
number 9.
New Mexico. And so he did go and search with a group of people for those graves and met some interesting characters. I believe there was a Navajo Bill, a man by the name and went by the name of Navajo Bill, and some other people. And they came very close to identifying the spot. And I believe there are some markers there now, although my grandfather told me that originally there was a marker in commemoration of the people that were killed in this battle at a place called Cleveland Square in El Paso. And I've never been to El Paso, so I don't know if it's there or what?
I think that was there, and I think the city moved it. Is that what happened?
Correct. So that is now off of Stanton, and the picture shows the monument pictures I took.
Ah, okay. That would be number 12 there, Andrew.
Okay.
We're looking this up on, as we go. So, yeah, number 12, actually, 14. This is out of order. 12, 14, and 15. And these are monument pictures. That thing actually was placed right in front of the Scottish Rite there in El Paso. And when they rewrote the they rerouted a road right there at Santa Fe and what is that other street? That Mills? Not Mills. What's that street that goes right by the museum on the north side?
Franklin.
Franklin. Okay, that's the south side. Anyway, right there in Caddy Corner of the ballpark was a little park there, about a block off of the freeway. Anyway, that got moved. But that's another interesting connection. Okay, and that little monument there is now, you said it's on Stanton Street?
Yeah. As you come around the corner from the Aztec marker?
It's up the hill?
Yeah, it's just it's right around the corner. You'll drive by and miss it. I mean, as many times as I've driven by there, I never noticed.
So, Randy, you going to come do a field trip and check this stuff out?
I intend to. It's on my bucket list.
Ah, okay.
Oh, super.
So tell us more about this. You've got this this monument, and that monument was to that battle and to those people?
As that is my understanding, General Anson Mills, who at that time was a retired Civil War general, and he had contacted my great-grandfather. I guess there were boundary commissions or possibly Masonic commissions or correspondence. And so he asked him to find the location where his brother had been killed. And they went and did that. They wrote later my great-grandfather wrote about a 10-page report of that trip and sent it to Anson Mills. There's a letter in that packet that I sent Mark of Anson Mills responding how wonderful the huge report was that he had got.
Yeah, we got that up,
Mark.
Yep.
A marker. And another thing that my great-grandfather did, there's a letter in the information I sent Mark. He went on a hunting trip around El Paso, and he killed a very large deer. And there's a photograph of my great-grandfather and my grandfather holding that deer head.
Oh, I don't think we have that one.
It was at El Paso. And then that deer head hung in my grandparents' ranch in Colorado all the time that I was a child. But there's also, that's it, right? And there was he wrote a letter then to the man who owned the ranch, thanking him for the hunt, and he also talked about all of the oil indications that were found on that ranch.
Oh.
I didn't know El Paso had an oil history. So,
not to my knowledge. It may be up in New Mexico a bit somewhere, but not El Paso doesn't have oil, do it?
No, out towards the Permian Fields, out east.
Yeah, it's a ways out of here. But so your grandfather got around. We've got to take another break here real quick. Come back and we'll talk about how many churches the man was a member of. It's amazing what that guy did.
Randy, page 20.
Yes, sir.
Page 20, he says. You look at that. We'll come back in a minute. All right, take another break here. 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone, a new podcast hosted by James Golden, known better as Bo Snerdly, that takes you behind the scenes for a look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming soon to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Presented by Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Want to tell you about what's going on this week in Santa Lazaro, the historic district there. They're holding their Cinco de Mayo Festival on May 1st.
Ah.
Hey, they do a lot of good math down there. But also, it's a weekend, so
yes,
that's why
it's the best Saturday night.
So today and tomorrow, actually, been going on since yesterday. 11 to 1 today with food, live music, dancing. Are you ready for dancing?
Yes.
No, you're not.
Well, my knee isn't.
Well, your knee, you can do it, but your knee won't. That 1500 Main Street down there, for details, contact them, San Elizario Historic District.com.
Mother's Day. We're coming up to Mother's Day.
How about
and it's
that?
Pretty quick, I'll tell you. And in honor of Mother's Day, all Texas historic sites will be offering free admission to moms on Saturday, May 8th.
Just the moms?
Just the moms. No, I don't know. They didn't get details. They just said, I'm sure it's just for the moms. But,
oh, dear.
And the sites will be closed on Mother's Day, which is actually Sunday. But the 8th, get on out there. Someplace to take your mom. The McGoffin Home State Historic Site is one of those historical sites you can take your mom to. So, you know, get out there, take her out, something different. Don't just, you know, maybe take her to breakfast and then go walk breakfast off at McGoffin
Home. Oh, I got
to
tell you, that's a great place to go look
it
at anything
is.
In Texas history.
Oh, the flowers,
history.
The roses are looking really nice now.
What a display of Texas history right there in the house itself, in the furniture, in the story of the people, yada, yada.
And what I'll mention is they are open for self-guided tours again. And you can also get private tours, but those are by appointment. And, of course, they're going to limit the how many people are in at times. They'll control that. But give them a call, 533-5147, to find out more. Or visit their Facebook page or website for more details, because they have things change on them. So.
All right, Randy, talk about page 20. I think that's from some diary that Mark mentioned. Randy Corbin's on the phone. His great-grandfather was a consulting engineer in El Paso with the Boundary Water Commission. Back then, I believe it was just the Boundary Commission. And so talk about what he also went to church a lot, that boy did.
Well, every Sunday, according to the journals, he looks like in the morning they would go to the Baptist church, and in the evening they would go to the Presbyterian church, and then every once in a while, like once a month, they would go to the Methodist church. And I know that when I was a boy and I would be visiting my grandparents in Colorado, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, Henry P.'s wife, lived right next door to them in Golden, Colorado. And every Sunday morning, she was would go to church. I believe that my great-grandfather, the Corbins, were Presbyterians. And I believe that her family were probably Baptists, maybe reversed. But so in honor of her, they would go to the Baptist church Sunday morning. And on Sunday night, they would go to the Presbyterian church. And that way they had their bases covered. And
Would this be Henry and Lulu? We have a picture of them, I think. Is that was his wife's name?
Henry and Lulu. Her name was Lulu Hannah White, and her parents and family were also ranchers in Colorado. Henry P.'s father had been a Confederate soldier and was captured at Gettysburg, and Lulu's father had been a Federal soldier and fought throughout Tennessee and the war. And after the Civil War, both families went to Colorado independently, and then they met and married there in Jefferson County, Colorado. She was 9 years younger than him, and they married in 1899.
Busy crowd there. Well, tell us about we got about a minute and a half here, it looks like, before we have to take the news break. What else? Give us a story about this that you want people to know. I mean, I'm just going to leave it up to you guys.
Well, basically, I did not know that much about my great-grandfather, and I interviewed him, as I had said before. And his job in El Paso, according to my grandfather, was a political plum because of who he knew and his experiences. And Mark then maybe could fill in about more on the boundary part, what he did in the boundary. I have, since I started doing this, I became very fascinated with all the markers. I would love to see the markers. And I had a question for Mark. Are the Texas boundary markers the same as the commission boundary markers?
Which Texas boundary markers are you talking
about? International would be the same.
Right. There's markers that are on both sides of the river that go down the river.
Okay.
Little ones that you can see online.
Okay.
But these are different ones. And one thing I wanted to touch base on real quick.
You got 30 seconds.
Was on that was Max Weber, the consul for Germany on this one. He and let's see, April 8th, General Anson Mills is now visiting in El Paso. He called on this morning.
What year is that?
And had, 1916, had a very nice
visit.
So there's so many different tie-ins.
I tell you,
Weber
was all over the Mexican Revolution as a German dude. There's going to be some interesting stuff. Coming up in June, we're going to take that story apart, put it back together. Interesting things here. Melissa, you got any other quick notice of people looking at us?
I've got a lot here, so why don't we just bring that back next, since we're short to time here. So.
Fair enough. Here we go. Could come to music. Randy, put yourself on hold. We'll be back in a bit. Talk more about this.
Okay.
We got a lot more to talk about the Boundary Water Commission and how they got water added. What's that all about, right? We'll get to that. Mark House sitting here. Randy's on the phone from Missouri. See you after the news. Thank y'all.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.